CP, thanks for joining us for the Silver City Report. We're starting things off with news of the Silver City School Board violating an Open Meetings Act. Can you tell us more about that?
Last month, the Silver School Board held a special meeting to discuss the superintendent's performance evaluation. They went into executive session to discuss that, and when they came back into open session, the board president said they took action in closed session, but they failed to take a vote in open session.
Is that where the violation occurred?
Yeah, the violation would be that they didn't take the vote in open session. Just yesterday, during another school board meeting, the board president said that it was an oversight and it was his fault. So the board plans to have a meeting next Monday to fix the violation.
So what was the action that actually took place, and is that proposed action or plans they had in regards to the superintendent, does that mean that's in limbo?
Right. The action was to extend the superintendent's contract by 2 years until the 2020-21 school year. And as of now, that decision is not official. So that's why they're holding another meeting to make it official.
Now we are moving on. There was a threat at one of the schools in Silver City that caused the whole district to go into lockdown. Can you share the details on that?
Right. An unknown caller called the Aldo Leopold Charter School, saying he was going to shoot up the school, particularly faculty and students. And it turned out no one showed up, but that forced Silver Consolidated Schools to go onto lockdown. And the neighboring district, Cobre Consolidated Schools, didn't have school. So there was only a few students at Aldo Leopold that day. So it looks like nothing happens.
Okay, CP, thank you very much. We are moving on to Christine Steele with the Silver City Daily Press and Independent. Christine, thanks for joining us. You covered a story recently that involved a community meeting in the small town of Hachita, which is close to the U.S.-Mexico border in Grant County. Now, this meeting was organized between citizens and the Border Patrol, and they requested extra law enforcement be there as well at the meeting.
Yes, they invited Sheriff-elect Frank Gomez and representatives from Senator Udall and Heinrich's office as well.
Okay, now it seems like from your reporting that people in that community had some concerns in regards to illegal crossing of the U.S.-Mexico border, and also they felt a little bit underserved with law enforcement. Is that correct?
That's correct, Anthony. They are so remote, so they don't see a lot of Grant County Sheriff's deputies down there patrolling, but they have seen an increase of strangers in their community, and they, of course, you know, read the news reports about the caravan coming. So they wanted to address these concerns with law enforcement and how to handle these issues when they come up in their community.
So how did the meeting go?
Meeting went very well from everyone that I spoke with, which includes Border Patrol, the sheriff-elect, and several residents. They went into the meeting with a list of questions they wanted to ask Border Patrol and Grant County Sheriff's deputies on how to handle certain situations when they come up in their community. They got all those questions answered, and the sheriff-elect committed to having another meeting with them in January to address their concerns about, you know, more coverage from Grant County Sheriff's deputies.
How staffed is the sheriff's department there in Grant County right now?
The new sheriff informed me that they are down about six deputies right now. He takes office in January. Hopefully, they'll be addressing that to get up to fully staffed.
Thank you for informing us about that meeting, Christine, and we look forward to talking with you next week.
Excellent. Thank you, Anthony.